Today's reading can be found on page 1081. We'll be looking at John chapter 11, verse 1 to 27. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.
Thank you very much, Simon, for the introduction and Martin for reading. Do you believe in life after death? That's a question I asked some of my colleagues in a survey just this past week. And of the 17 people who replied, 9 of them said, yes, I do believe in life after death. 2 of them said, no, I don't. And the other 6 of them said that they weren't sure. So roughly just over half of the people I surveyed said, yes, I do believe in life after death. And maybe that's a question you can try asking your colleagues as well when you head back to the office this afternoon. You can see if you get the same results as well where you work. It's a small sample size, but I think the results from my survey highlight the fact that people do have different views when it comes to life after death. And it's an important topic to consider because death is relevant to all of us. None of us can avoid death. And as Benjamin Franklin put it, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. Like everyone else, Christians must also face death. We're not exempt from death. But the difference, I guess, for a Christian is that we face death with a certain hope because of Jesus. We're in the middle of a series this summer titled, What's So Good About Being a Christian? And today we'll see that it's good to be a Christian because only Jesus offers eternal life. Only Jesus gives me eternal life. And to see that, we'll be looking at the passage that was just read for us in John chapter 11. And you'll find in your handouts the 2 points that we'll be looking at in our talk today. Point 1, what does Jesus claim to offer? And point two, is it too good to be true? So firstly, what does Jesus claim to offer? Well, we find Jesus' claim in verse 25 of our passage today. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." But before we look at what this means, let's first consider the context in which Jesus makes this claim. At the beginning of our passage, we're told that a close friend of Jesus, a man named Lazarus, was ill. Verse 1, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" Now, we aren't told here what specific illness Lazarus had, but we know from later on in the passage that this was an illness that ultimately led to Lazarus dying within the space of a few days. And surprisingly, when Jesus finds out that Lazarus is ill, instead of rushing over to see Lazarus, Jesus deliberately delays his journey. And I think that's a surprise because up until this point in John's Gospel, we've seen that Jesus is very good at healing people. He's healed someone's son who is at the point of death. He's healed an invalid. He's healed a blind man. And so as Martha and Mary send news to Jesus about Lazarus, I think their expectation would have been that Jesus would come quickly to Bethany to come and heal Lazarus. But yet in verse 6, Jesus chooses to stay 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus deliberately delays going to Lazarus. And then by the time Jesus finally does arrive in Bethany in verse 17, Lazarus has already died. And in fact, by that time, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days already. And as Jesus arrives, Martha goes out to meet him, and in verse 21, we get the conversation that takes place between the two of them. Verse 21, "Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life.'" I am the resurrection and the life. That's the claim that Jesus makes in this passage. But what does he actually mean by that when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life"? Well, I think to understand this, we need to see that there are two parts to Jesus' claim. Part one, Jesus is saying that he is the resurrection. And then part two, Jesus is saying that he is the life. And the two parts of this claim are then explained respectively in the second half of verse 25 and in verse 26. So for part one, when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection," the explanation comes when he goes on to say, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And this seems to correspond to what Martha was saying she believed in verse 24, that there will be a future day when those who believe in Jesus will rise again. There's a future resurrection. And then part two, Jesus says, "I am the life." This is explained in verse 26. "Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." That might seem a little confusing at first. Jesus has just said in previous verse, "though he die," but now he's saying, "shall never die." Jesus seems to be contradicting himself. But to understand this, we need to see that Jesus is talking about two different dimensions of death here. And it's a difference that he's already made earlier in John's Gospel, in John chapter 5. So there's a physical dimension to death, which is what Jesus is referring to when he says, "though he die, yet shall he live." So here Jesus is talking about a physical death that will be followed by a physical resurrection on the last day. And then there's also a spiritual dimension of death. And that's the state that the Bible says that we're all in by default because of our rebellion against God. It means we're separated from God. Then in John chapter 5, Jesus speaks of a passing from spiritual death to spiritual life, which takes place when someone believes in Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." In other words, Jesus is saying that when a person becomes a Christian, they pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. So they go from being separated from God to having relationship with him. And so that means that Christians are people who have eternal life, not just in the distant future, but they have eternal life now, before death. And that's why Jesus says, "Everyone who believes in me shall never die." Because even when physical death eventually comes, it cannot take away the eternal life which Christians already have now. So there are two parts to Jesus' claim. Part one deals with what's to come in the future, a future resurrection. And part two deals with the present, eternal life now to those who believe. But Jesus doesn't just want us to know that there is such a thing as life after death. I think more than that, Jesus wants us to know that he is the one who offers these things. That's why he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So in other words, Jesus wants us to have certainty, not just about the existence of life after death, but its source as well. Resurrection and life are both found in Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And whether you're here as a Christian or not, I think you'll agree that what Jesus claims to offer here is good. Jesus is claiming that death isn't the end. He's saying that there's hope beyond the grave. He's saying that we can be confident even in the face of death. But then the question that follows is, how can we be sure that what Jesus says is true? Is it actually too good to be true? That's our second point. Is Jesus' claim too good to be true? Maybe at work you'll have come across some impressive CVs. People who have managed high-profile, complicated projects, or people who have just worked in lots of different industries and have been in very senior roles. And I imagine that if Jesus had to write a CV for himself, his would be a very impressive CV as well. So under his name and title, he could put things like Christ and Son of God. Under work experience, he'd be able to write things like turned water into wine, healed an official's son, healed an invalid, fed 5,000, walked on water, healed a man born blind. And if you're familiar with John's gospel, you know that these are some of the signs which John has recorded for us that Jesus has done up until this point in John's gospel. And then under the skill section, I think from today's passage, Jesus could write, "I am the resurrection and the life, able to raise the dead to life on the last day, able to offer eternal life now." And that would make for an impressive CV. But then, as we know, it isn't all about what you put in the CV. You still need to be able to back up what you've written. And so the question is, can Jesus back up this impressive CV that he has? Or is it all too good to be true? If you read on to the end of the chapter, you'll see that Jesus gives us evidence that he really can offer life after death. After speaking to Lazarus' other sister, Mary, Jesus goes to Lazarus' tomb in verse 38. And then in verse 43, Jesus uses just three words to bring a dead man back to life. Jesus brings Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, back to life again. And by doing this, by raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus shows that he has power over death. If you think about it, that's an amazing thing. Death is mankind's greatest enemy. It's an undefeated enemy. But yet here, Jesus overcomes it. Jesus overcomes death. He brings a man back from the dead to prove that he really can offer life after death, proving that he really is the resurrection and the life. And this isn't the only time in John's gospel that Jesus proves that he can overcome death. He does it again and ultimately when he dies on the cross and rises again on the third day. So is Jesus' claim too good to be true? Well, no, it isn't, because in overcoming death, Jesus proves that he really is the resurrection and the life, the one who can guarantee life after death. And so how should believing all of this impact us as Christians in the city? Well, here are three suggestions. First, it should impact our priorities when we pray. At RBS, we have a group of Christians who meet to pray every Wednesday lunchtime. And a few weeks ago, one of the guys asked us to pray for a close friend of his who has cancer and is undergoing treatment. And so we spent a bit of time praying for this friend who isn't a Christian. We pray that he would get better soon and that he would that the chemotherapy would go well. But more importantly, we pray that this friend of his would come to know Jesus. Because if what we've seen today is true, then his friend's greatest problem isn't that he has cancer and might die. And his greatest need isn't that he needs to be cured of this cancer. If what we've seen today is true, his greatest problem is that he doesn't have the life which Jesus offers. And so his greatest need, therefore, is to hear and to believe the good news of Jesus, to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that Jesus is the one who has overcome death and who offers hope in the face of death. That's what we should be praying for. And secondly, given that Jesus being the resurrection and the life is such good news, that should then motivate us to talk to our colleagues about Jesus. It should motivate us in proclamation. And that means making the most of opportunities that we have to invite colleagues to lunchtime services like this, or reading the Bible with your colleagues, or even just asking them questions. The survey I asked my colleagues to complete last week, I found worked really well as a conversation starter. I asked them the question, do you believe in life after death? And I sent that around to my colleagues as a survey over email. And soon after sending out the survey, I had two colleagues come up to me separately to chat more about the topic of life after death. One of them shared with me that she does believe in life after death, but she believes it based on what Hinduism teaches her. Another colleague came up to me and said, oh, I think that's a really interesting topic, life after death. There are just so many different views out there, but we just can't know which one is true. And then that led to a conversation about what the Bible says about the topic of life after death, and whether or not we can trust what the Bible tells us about this important issue. So we should find opportunities to speak about Jesus and to make the most of those opportunities. And then finally, if the greatest need the world has is to hear about the life which Jesus offers, then we should be all the more willing and eager to support work that allows that to happen. I think a good way we can partner in this work as city workers is by giving money to support ministries which seek to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And what I mean by this isn't just necessarily giving money to your church. I'll give you an example at RBS. There's a small group of Christians at RBS who give money to fund evangelistic events that we run every term. So every term we'll host a lunchtime dialogue event where it's basically an opportunity for our colleagues to come, have a lunch, and to hear a talk from the Bible. Back in July, we did an event at a nearby pub on the topic of suffering. How can God allow suffering in this world? And so to allow these events to happen, the Christians at RBS, we give money to self-fund these events so that our colleagues can actually come along and they can get a free lunch and hear a talk from the Bible as well. Why do we do this? Well, because we truly believe that what Jesus offers is good and that our colleagues need to hear about it. And so, returning to the question, do you believe in life after death? Well, to the people like my 9 colleagues at the beginning who said, yes, I do believe in life after death. Well, the question is, do you believe that Jesus is the one who offers life after death? And do you believe that Jesus actually offers us life now if we believe in him? He offers us eternal life, relationship with the only true God, if we believe in him. And to the people who don't believe in life after death, or who just aren't sure, Jesus clearly tells us here that there is life after death. Jesus makes this claim as one who can raise a man from the dead. Jesus makes this claim as one who has overcome death himself. And Jesus makes this claim as the Christ, the Son of God, who offers life to those who believe. And that's what's so good about being a Christian. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what Jesus offers us as the eternal, as the resurrection and the life. Thank you that as those who believe, we can have eternal life now and can know you, the only true God. And thank you for the promise of that future day when Jesus will return and death will be no more. In Jesus' name, amen.